Well, Psalm chapter number 30, look with me in verse number 1, the book of Psalm chapter number 30. Verse number 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, and thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want to read, that's going to be our text verse tonight. I want to read that one more time for you. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand here once again. Lord, I beg you, God, that you just touch. Lord, I thank you for the people that have been able to gather. We thank you for those that are watching by way of the internet. Lord, we thank you for the vast ministries that are happening and taking place here tonight on this property. Lord, I pray that you just continue to touch. Lord, I pray you be with the navigators. I pray you touch Brother Joseph. I pray you touch Brother Tom, God, as he's teaching those teens tonight. God, I pray that you'd be with him. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those in the gap group. Lord, pray with Brother Steve. Lord, I pray that you'd touch him. Lord, give him fire and unction as well, Lord, as he preaches tonight. Lord, I pray you'd be with us. God, we thank you for what we've already felt. We thank you for this wonderful family, the Jackson family, that's going to serve you. Lord, we pray that you just touch them, use them. God, I pray that you'd continue to allow us to feel the wonderful things that we are able to feel, Lord, as we heard the great singing, God, and the fellowship that we were able to have, and to be able to sing that there is victory in Jesus. Lord, I beg you, God, that you just touch me tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. God, I pray you'd fill me all the way from the top of my head down to the soles of my feet, God. Lord, I pray you'd anoint me, God, that I might be able to preach, God, as you'd have me to preach tonight. God, guard my mouth and my mind, God, as I stand for you, Lord, tonight. Lord, it's in your name, your precious name of Jesus Christ, that we pray all these things. Amen and amen. So I want you to look at these with me, and we'll look at verse number 5, really, but we're going to go through a few verses as we begin through these verses. We're beginning at the praise psalm. This is a psalm of praise. David is praising God because he has been delivered. You can read those first three verses, and you can tell that God has brought David out of something that was awful for David. Now, how many of you can say, praise God, that God has seen me through, and God has helped me, and has brought me out of some very difficult times, some very difficult ways, and now I know that I can praise him because he has done that for me. And that's what David is saying here, and God was delivering him, and he was delivering him in a way that only he could to be delivered, because God is the one that was able to deliver him. It's also a psalm of victory. Thankful for those psalms of victory. Boy, I'm thankful that we have the victories that we have. We sang that song, Victory in Jesus Christ, and I have experienced victory, and I'm sure that all of us enjoy victory more than we do defeat. I can probably take a survey across here. Each and every one of us would rather win than lose. Many of you guys know, all of y'all know that I'm a big baseball fan. I love baseball. My team that I root for has not been doing very well these last few years. Don't have to smile at me like that, Sister Kathy. The team that I cheer for has not been doing well, but I'm still pulling for them. But you Braves guys, y'all have been doing pretty good, praise the Lord. But we're thankful that we can have those victories, but the greatest victories that we ever, ever able to accomplish are those that God has brought us through and delivered us. David said that God's going to give me the victory. I don't have to worry of whether I'm going to lose this battle or not. The three Hebrew children were the ones that even said that, hey, we're not going to bow to that idol. It doesn't matter whether God delivers us or not. We're going to be on his side and he will be able to deliver us. And God did deliver him. Boy, you go through the chapter number 6 of Daniel, and Daniel said, I'm not going to change the way that I pray. I'm going to keep on praying the way that I've been told to pray and the way that I've been instructed to pray and the way that I feel God wants me to pray. So therefore, he kept on. He found himself in a den of lions, but praise God, God delivered him from that and gave him victory. Boy, the victory over those situations, and those are wonderful. But as we open the Word of God, we really look in and we peer into the thoughts of God. And well, we have an intricate look that we look into as David desires to praise the Lord. And after a very difficult time, and his introduction is really very simple. If you look at verse number 1 with me, look at verse number 1. The book of Psalm, chapter number 30, verse number 1. The Bible says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and thou hast made my foes to rejoice over me. See, I want you to see that he's praising God for action, the action of God, for his action that he took, the action that God was the one that was able to do that. This is the action that God and only God could accomplish, and he lifted David up. I love that thought process. We're going to get a little more into that, but he's lifting David up out of something that was really a difficult time. And then he's even saying that, and thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. He didn't let his people that were trying to defeat him gloat to be able to say, wow, boy, you're where's your God now? Or where's your victory now? David was just thanking God for the action that God had taken. The word picture here is that bucket that's being let down, and it's drawn out of a well to be able to do that. It's actually suspended. It begins, but I'm getting excited. You think about that bucket that you're letting down into a well, and this is the word picture that is saying that thou hast lifted me up, that bucket that's there, and it begins, maybe a breeze begins to go through, Brother Earl, in that well, and maybe that breeze is making that bucket go back and forth, and that bucket has no control over the direction that it is going. It's just going back and forth, and the only way that bucket could go is down, but it's connected to something else. It's connected to something that can bring it up out of this terrible place. And thank God that when I was a 6-year-old little boy, I got connected to something else. It wasn't the church membership, and it wasn't church baptism, and it wasn't joining the church. It wasn't shaking the preacher's hand. It wasn't trying to do good deeds or anything else. But I got connected by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he has held me every step of the way. And thank God that he can pull me up out of that miry clay. He can pull you up out of that miry clay. He can pull you out of those situations. He can deliver you. And we got to praise God for his action that he takes. Boy, that didn't have anybody, but David is proclaiming that, thank God that you've done something for me. You took action. But look with me in verse number 2. You had a praise for attention as well. David goes on and praises God. Look at verse number 2 with me. O Lord, my God. Isn't it wonderful to have a personal God? Isn't it wonderful to have a God that loves you, cares for you, knows you? Knows every hair on your head, or the lack thereof. Knows that, yeah, hallelujah, that he's my God. And I love the fact that it is a personal. And then we've talked about it so many times as we've been going through these Psalms, that God is a personal God, that we have a my, and he is my God, and he is my Savior, and he's the one that cleansed me from my sin. And I thank God that he loves me, and I love him, and he's so personal to me. You say, hey, how do you get so personal with God? Because I talk to him regularly. Because I spend time with him regularly. Because I want to make sure that if I wasn't spending time with my wife, I would lose that relationship. If I wasn't spending time after time to be able to commune with her, to be able to talk with her, to tell her how much I love her, to tell her how beautiful she is and how wonderful she cooks. And she does, praise the Lord. If I didn't tell her, but she's a personal, my personal favorite. She's my best friend. And guess what? That God is my personal favorite. He is my best friend as well. And we have a God that is a personal God for each and every one of us. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. So what a wonderful thing to be able to see that psalmist goes through many times. If you read through the book of Psalms any amount of time, you'll see that he's saying that, hey, I've cried out to you and you heard my cry. I have cried out and you have done something. I cried out. That psalmist is crying. And boy, Brother Mark, there's been times in my life where I have been crying out to God, but there's not been one time in my life where he said, I didn't hear what you had to say. Or can you repeat that one more time for me? I'm having a little trouble here. No, glory to God, he has heard me every time that I have called out to him. Aren't you glad that you have a God, a personal God, that loves you and cares for you and hears you and can heal you as well? Boy, whether it is your physical or whether it is your psychological or whether it is a problem with your family or a problem in your job and career, whether it's a problem at the church, whether it's God can heal that every step of the way. So glad that he does that and he pays attention to each and every one of us. And boy, God still hears and answers prayer just like he can. And he can do that today. He can heal our hurts. He can heal our pains. And whether they are those difficult times, but he does heal us. But then in verse number 3, he praises God for his ability. The only ability. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Now you talk about power. We have a God that is almighty, that's all powerful, that is absolutely amazing. And he can do things that nobody else in the universe or no other being in the universe can do. Why? Because he is God. And the God that we serve is wonderful, how he is, the ability that he has. God granted life to David. Now let me go ahead and say this. There's only one that can grant life. That is God Almighty. There's only one that can grant eternal life, and that is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I'm so thankful that I can have eternal life and everlasting life because of the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary's hill. No other reason, no other way, not by works, not by trying to do any of those other things, but be able to know that without a shadow of a doubt that God has the ability to lift me up and to give me life. The only one that can give me everlasting life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when we get to verse number 4, I want you to look with me in verse number 4. We get to verse number 4, David begins to tell us by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, just start singing. Have you ever sung just a song, or have you ever, Amber, my little girl, she's one of those ones that loves to sing. And she sings, sometimes she don't even know what she's singing. She's just singing to be able to sing. She's having such a good time. And that's wonderful because that tells me that she's happy. Because you sing when you are happy. When you're having a good time, when you're enjoying yourself, you sing, you might even hum a little tune, you might even whistle. For those of us that can't whistle, pray for the rest of those of us that can't whistle. If you can, congratulations. But we have these things that we're having, and he just tells us just to sing. Look at chapter number 30, verse number 4. Look at that very first, sing unto the Lord. He's just telling us to have a song, to be able to sing. When we are in a good mood, we're doing that. And we may have a little whistle time, and we may even have. But David is showing us that here, because of what God has done. Verse number 1, 2, and 3. Because he has the ability. Because he is the one that was available and was listening and giving us attention. Because of all those things, we can sing a song to the Lord. And I love to sing to him. And matter of fact, when you're singing, you ought to sing to him and not worry about what anybody else is thinking about it. The Bible does tell us to make a joyful noise, but the Bible also says to sing, play skillfully with a loud noise too as well. But we're supposed to do all these things unto him, not to worry about what mankind thinks about it, but what the Lord Jesus Christ is thinking about it. I've seen a lot of folks that could hit every note and they could go and they could do every little move that they needed to make, and they didn't have the power of God on them. But I have set some people, and I've seen some people, and I have heard some folks that they may have not have been the most perfect to pitch perfect, but glory to God, they had the touch of God on them. They had the power of God on them. They had the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God on them. And it is absolutely amazing to be able to see when God moves in. Boy, the tune just seems to get sweet. And it seems to have a great time. And God is just saying, hey, why don't you just sing to me? Why don't you sing unto the Lord? The Almighty One, the Great One, the One that pulled you out of that miry clay, the One that has brought you out of that sinful debt. Thank God that we have a Savior that we can sing to. Not only do we sing to Him, but He's telling us who needs to sing to us. Oh, ye saints of His. Now, how many saints of God do we have in the house of God tonight? Thank God that I am a saint of God. Thank God that I have been saved. I made that appointment many, many years ago. But who is David that's talking about it? I know the Holy Spirit of God is actually just commanding us to burst forth in a song. Is it the saints of God? And if there's anyone and anything that should be able to sing for the praises of God, it ought to be those that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It ought to be those that have been absolutely blood-bought and blood-washed and set His feet on a solid rock. And Jesus Christ is that rock. And He ought to be the one that we can set forth and be able to know that I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus Christ has saved my soul. I want to sing to Him because He has made me a saint of His. Well, the saint that we have and those that have been delivered from the snares of the devil. Boy, the clutches of Satan himself, that he'll try to come against us. The demons of hell will come against you. But thank God that we can start singing a song even in those darkest hours. Even in those dark hours, boy, when we get to verse number 5, glory to God. When we get in those dark times, we can still sing a song to Him to be able to know that He will deliver us. That there is a greater day coming. Thank God we have a day that's great that's going to be coming. Boy, it's the saints of God to sing into heaven. And be honest with you, when some of my favorite chapter, Brother Richard, is chapter number 5 in the book of Revelation. Why? Because they're singing a song. It's a new song. It's a song that I don't know the words to yet. How many of you have ever tried to sing a song that you didn't know the words to? It don't work. Some people said, hey, you just need to sing watermelon, watermelon. It just makes your mouth look like it's doing the right words. Don't need to do that. But there's a new song that we're going to be singing. But I'll be honest with you, Dad, I think I'll just start practicing right now. Brother Jerry, I think I'll just go ahead and start practicing what I can sing and how I can sing for Him right now. To sing the Savior, to be able to thank Him for what He's done for me. Hey, sing those songs to be able to thankful that He has. But then what is it in verse number 4, the very last part of that? Sing unto Him, O Lord, or sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. So what are we singing? What are the words to the song? What should we sing about? The holiness of God. You remember I said, have you ever tried to sing a song that you didn't know the words to? I sure am glad we got a book that tells us what to sing. As a matter of fact, if they'll be able to stay up with me, look with this in Isaiah chapter number 6. In Isaiah chapter number 6, there's a song that's being sung. That's not being sung by people. It's not being sung by those that have been redeemed yet. But in Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 3, there is a song that's being sung by the angels that are round about. What is that song? And one cried one unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Guess what? We just learned the words to the song that we should be singing right now. That's what David is saying. Sing about His holiness. Thank God for His holiness. You say, well, what about His mercy? That's wonderful. I thank God for the mercy of God. What about His grace? I thank God for the grace of God. What about the peace of God? It's wonderful. But boy, when you start thinking about how holy, how wonderful, how majestic, how great God really truly is, and yet He would come down. Glory to God, and He would come down for you and for me and to sacrifice Himself. Boy, what a wonderful thought that how holy He is. That same song that we need to be encouraged to be singing. How holy is our God. Then we get to the why. Why should we be singing? Look at verse number 5 with me. We're getting there, and listen, we're getting there in record time. Praise God. For his anger. Now, what was that first word? Four. Why should we be singing? You should be singing this song. Why? Because of those great things that happened in chapter number 30, verse number 1, 2, and 3. And then we look into verse number 4. He's telling us to sing a song. Why should we be singing a song? For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy. But joy. There's this really good preacher that I love to hear preach that says this heavenly conjunction, but. But joy. You've been going through a time that you've been weeping and there's been difficulties, and boy, that night season is difficult and you don't know what direction you're going in, but joy cometh in the morning. You look through these things and you say, well, what's going on with this? And look with this. Look with me with this real quickly. I want you to look. There's a notice that there's contrast in this verse. If you're one that marks down in your Bible, or one that goes ahead and listens to this, there's contrast that we have. There's anger and then there's favor. You see it with me? For his anger endureth but a moment, but in his favor is life. Then there's a moment, but for a moment, but then there's a lifetime. Thank God that we can have a lifetime of favor of Jesus Christ, of God Almighty. Then there's also, listen to this, evening and morning. Oh. There's a night season, hard times, difficult times, but there's coming a day. What a glorious day that is going to be. We have a morning, we have an evening, but look with this. This is these emotions that we look through. There's weeping. Boy, there's difficulty. But thank God there's joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Boy, the endurance that we have to have. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Boy, so many times we get so caught up in that very last part. And I'll be honest with you, that's one of my favorite parts. That is probably my favorite part of the verse, that joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. And we always try to encourage. You're going through a difficult time right now, but don't worry. The sun's going to come up in just a little bit. Hey, don't worry about it. God's got you, and he's going to be able to bring that sun up. You're going to be able to see. And boy, the warmth of the sun is going to come out one day. And boy, the wisdom of the sun is going to come out one day. And there's going to be great things that you just keep on looking. But then there's something that we really have to deal with in the first part of that verse. His anger. His anger endureth, thank God, but a moment. What can we have to endure? Well, then there is anger. There is the wrath of God. And there's a lot of places that are not preaching the wrath of God, but the wrath of God is very real. I'm so thankful that I know without a shadow of a doubt that there's coming a day that when the Lord Jesus Christ splits the sky, I'm going to be able to head on out and I don't have to endure the wrath of God. I'm going to be saved from the wrath of God. I'm already saved because I don't have to go to a place called hell. Thank God that I don't have to endure that awful place. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul and I don't have to go there because of what he has done. But you look at that, his anger endureth but a moment. What is that talking about? It's talking about the chastisement of God. I got to be very careful here, Brother Jerry. But there is chastisement of God. As a matter of fact, Brother Gus, he says, I'll chastise those whom I love. Now, I won't be honest with you. There's been times that I've wanted to whoop somebody else's kid. Amen. And when I was growing up, it was totally okay if somebody in the neighborhood grabbed hold of you by the nape of your neck and wore you out. Now they just call you for abuse and they'd lock you up. And I'll be honest with you, I've looked at some kids, Brother Mark, I've looked at some kids and somebody told me, I just don't know what I'm going to do with them. They're just going crazy. They're doing this, they're doing that. And I'm telling you, I just don't know what I'm going to do with it. And I feel like saying, I know exactly what to do with that kid. You let that baby come home with me for a week. They won't be able to sit down for two, but praise the Lord. But God chastises us. I've been taken to the woodshed before. You've probably been taken to the woodshed, God's woodshed. You've probably been taken at a time where you were enduring more than you thought you would be able to endure. That God was chastising. But God does chastise those that He loves, but His chastisement ends. Thank God. That word endureth, or that anger, that word anger actually means a flared nostrils, to be able to breathe hard, to be able to just be so mad. Have you ever been so angry that you just started breathing hard and you just about hyperventilate? And that's what this word picture is really talking about, that he's just saying the chastisement is coming and he's so angry that the anger happens. But thank God that it's but a moment. Just for a space, for this little time that we have, there's a chastisement. But look at the next part of this verse. In his favor is life. There's not only there's chastisement that we have to endure, but there's comfort, thank God, that we have in that. Favor actually means this. The word favor actually means to delight. Goodwill. The pleasure, to take pleasure. I'm so thankful God takes pleasure in his children. Boy, there's been times in my life where I've had to spank my children. I don't have time to go over it tonight, but there's been times in my life where I've gone through where my almost called his name. Oh, I'll do it anyway. Daniel drove me up the wall. And I thought I was going to have to beat him within an inch of his life. That's something my mama taught me, praise the Lord. And boy, there's been times that I thought I was going to lose it. And boy, I was going to whoop him. And I began to whoop him. I began to whoop him. But then there's been times in my life where I've had such great favor. He's had such great favor in my life. And he's brought me so much pleasure. He's brought me so much delight. And I'm so thankful for him. And I am. I really, truly am. But that's what a father, a loving father will do, is he will chastise that child that needs to be corrected. But he'll also love and comfort them and take delight in them and enjoy them and know that thank God that we have a heavenly Father, that he does have to chastise us sometime, to discipline us sometime, but thank God that he takes delight. Thank God that he takes joy in us. Thank God that he has favor for each and every one of us. I have attained the favor of Jesus Christ. How you say, how did you endure? How were you able to attain that favor of Jesus Christ? I was a 6-year-old little boy when I knelt down on an old-fashioned altar and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And from then on out, glory to God, I've been saved and blood bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that anybody, anyone, not even the devil himself, can do about that. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We look at that, his anger endureth for a moment, and his favor is life. But look at the example that we have, and look at verse number 5 with me. Continue on with me. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We've all experienced these emotions. We've all experienced going to weep, and we've also experienced joy. We've experienced from one place to the other, and we always have this. But I want you to look at this, that weeping actually means to sob. Sobbing. It means to sorrow bitterly, to actually have rivers of tears. Have you ever had a time in your life where you were just didn't know where to go and where to reach out to, and there were just tears that seemed to be uncontrollable? You didn't know how to do that. You didn't know how to get any relief from that. But God came along, glory to God, and gave you relief. But there's sobbing, there's weeping, those rivers of tears that we have. But we'll also look at the rest of it. There's a shelter. Weeping may endure. I love this word picture because it really says to take a lodging for the night. There's been a lot of times in my life where weeping has took up house in my life. It endured. It kept on going. It seemed like I didn't know where to turn to, and I kept calling out to God. Weeping was enduring. That sobbing was just continuing on. It had taken up lodge in my heart. It began to wear my chest hurt. My heart hurt. I was going through a difficult time, and that example that we have, that weeping that we're having, and it's going ahead and it's taking up the lodging in your house, and it just seems like you can't get out of it. But then I want you to look with me. There's encouragement at the end of the verse. But joy cometh in the morning. We've had to endure the chastisement of God, and I know that we've taken comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ is our Savior and He has delighted in us. And then we've had these examples of emotions, but now we look forward to a better day that's a coming. What is that better day? It's not the election day. It's not the day where you get the keys to your new house. It's not the day that you get a new vehicle. It's not a new day where you just meet the love of your life, or it's not a new day where you experience a child or a grandchild or anything like that. That's not the day that we're talking about. We're talking about a much greater day. We're talking about a much better time than just what these earthly things that we think of could be about. It's a day where there's going to be a whole lot of shouting going on. If you're nervous about shouting, don't go to heaven. Because there's going to be a whole lot of shouting going on there. And I'm going to be one of the ringleaders. I'm excited to shout it out. See, there's joy that we have. The life with God is joyful. That word joy actually means to be so excited and to be so exuberant with the feeling inside of you that you can't do anything but... Now, I know that's somebody's shout. Now, we've talked about it, Pastor and I have talked about it. Heather's shout is tears. I know that that's me running laps, praise the Lord. But there's some folks that get excited. There's some folks that can't hold it in anymore. I think we got a few sitting over here in that section over there. We've got a few over here in this section here. We've got a few in this section here. And I thank God for every one of them. Because they're practicing something that the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God is telling you. But joy, shouting, exuberance is coming when? In the morning. I want you to look real quickly. There's a journey that we look at in the morning. Well, I'm going to give you this homework assignment because we're running out of time. Genesis chapter number 1. There's a phrase that is used 6 times in the very first chapter of your Bible. Evening and morning. And the evening and the morning. It's talking about when God was creating the earth, and what we have is the creation account here in Genesis chapter number 1. You have that, and that phrase is found in the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. There's something about the evening and the morning. The amazing part is that when you look at God, His day starts in the evening. Now, we all consider our day to begin at 12 a.m., we consider our day to start whenever the sun comes up. We consider our day whenever you get out of bed, whether it be 6 a.m., 5 a.m., or 12 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when your day begins. But God's day starts in an evening. Starts in a darker hour. You think, well, why in the world would something like that be? The evening and the morning or the day? And there's coming an evening, though. And when that morning does break, there's going to be no more need for another evening. There's There's no more need for the moon. There's no more need for the sun. There's no more need for any of those things anymore. Why? Because the last evening has occurred and the last morning, and there will be an everlasting day that we get to enjoy the presence of God for all of eternity. The amazing part about this is there's never going to be another dark hour of sorrow. There's never going to be another dark hour of pain. There's never going to be another dark hour of death when that day comes. Revelation chapter number 21, the book of Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 23 says it this way. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So there's coming a day where we don't have to have any more nights. There's coming a time when no dark hours will ever be at our doorstep ever again. Brother Earl, you realize that we might have just experienced the last sunset? Hallelujah. We may have just experienced the last sunset that we will ever have to experience, because before the sun comes up in the morning, the S-O-N might just come up for the morning. For the great morning. And I believe that he's worth praising. That's what David is telling us, each and every one of us, to make sure that you praise God. Why? Because there's coming a day, because there's coming a time, because there's coming a wonderful thing that we have. And there's a great invitation that takes place, and I want to take you here, and then I will let you go home. Just a few chapters from where we are, the book of Psalm, chapter number 30. Look with me at Psalm, chapter number 34, and verse number 3. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I believe that this is worship right here. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. Hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together.